This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Recapping Major League Baseball. It looks like Major League Baseball and the owners and the players going at it. Now they talked yesterday, and they're trying to come to terms on all of the stuff that's going to happen for them to be able to play baseball again, and what the owners have approved. Now they haven't discussed money. We'll find out if that gets ugly, Nick. You know what? In this time, you know what people don't want to hear, and God forbid. Because somebody said, Jackie said, well, then the owners are just going to shut it down, and they're not going to play if they don't come to terms on this thing, and then the players are the ones that are going to be screwed because there's guys that need, and then they'll fracture. If it comes down to them fighting about money, you know how, I mean, Rob Manfred, you better get a handle on this thing.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a turnoff for everybody.
Oh, a massive turnoff. In this time, with 33 million Americans out of work, and you guys are going to squabble about the millions upon millions of dollars that you're splitting up?
Speaking of 33 million, I was looking up Justin Verlander's contract, and I think he was due to make $33 million in his contract. And then I divided that number by 162 games and essentially got a little over $200,000 a paycheck. Now, if the owners agree to that 82-game prorated deal that we were talking about earlier, then he's going to make just over $16 million before taxes. No one's going to feel sorry for people that are making these types of paychecks, in my opinion. So if they can't come to terms, oh my God, fans are going to – it's going to be a mess. It's not just going to be on Rob Manfred. I think it's going to be on all the owners too. Because it's going to be a bad look on them, too.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. I mean, listen, Justin Verlander will make 16 starts over an 82-game schedule. And he's going to make over $16 million. He's making over $1 million a start. No one wants to hear it. No one wants to hear it. So please, don't bring that to the table, people. Owners, you screwed up. Players, if you want to back down and you want to help the owners out because they were a bunch of idiots for saying that they would, it was prorated instead of saying, well, wait a minute, we're going to lose 40% more because there's no fans, so we're going to have to we can't come to that term. Okay, but you didn't. So we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear it.
Not every average fan is gonna blame the owners too. Like they're gonna blame the players, even though, like, you do make a good point. They're probably in the right because that's the agreement that the owners decided on, that they would pay this 82 game prorated season. And so I think the average fan, not every fan is going to be educated about that dynamic, and they're going to blame people like Justin Verlander, and people are making big paychecks too. It's just going to be a bad look all around. Because like Lance said, I don't care about the asterisk or anything like that. I want to see some baseball. I want to see some sports. So let's get the games going so we don't have to wait any longer than we have to, you know?
Yep. No, absolutely. Arizona opened up yesterday, said you could come and play sports in our town, in our state without fans. That'll be interesting for the Pac-12. Yesterday, the thought is Mark Emmert came out and said, well, we're not going to shut down. Listen. We're not going to decide whether or not some teams will play and some won't, whether or not we're going to have a season. I'm telling you right now, the SEC is playing. The SEC is playing, and if the Pac-12 ain't, then they ain't. And the SEC don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, you know that.
And there won't be an asterisk because here's the deal. Name the last time the Pac-12 was involved in a national championship anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
Oregon's been close.
each and every year we always talk about how the Pac-12, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year for the Pac-12, and I feel like it just it's been on a decline more than a rise up, more than anything else over the past, I don't know, 2-3 seasons. I don't know what you think of the Pac-12, but
no, the Pac-12 is the weakest of all. It's not even arguable. It's the weakest of all the conferences. Now the ACC, you can make that argument, but it produces the champion in Clemson, so that immediately trumps the Pac-12.
Exactly. If you have a program like Clemson, I mean, look, at this point, they're going to have to prioritize the revenue generating programs at this point, considering everything that's been lost. Clemson puts them over the top, because, despite being in the ACC, as you mentioned, puts them over the top. So, yeah, the Pac-12, sorry. I mean, the SEC is not going to care. They're not going to care. So
the SEC don't care. The SEC wishes that, you know what? If we just have an SEC champion, we're just going to name them the national champ. If no one else plays, the SEC champ is the national champ. That's what the SEC thinks. Because they don't care. The SEC doesn't care if there's another team. That's even better. Then all we have to do is play SEC teams if there's no other teams that are playing. That'd be great. Because that's all the SEC cares about.
I mean, the TV revenue will still be there, right, despite the pandemic? Everything's still going to be there. So.
Well, listen. Now, they're talking about – it'll be interesting to see. Colin Cowherd said – you know what the Pac-12 is going to do? They're not going to play in the fall. They're going to play in the spring. They're going to have their own season in the spring. Huh. That would be very interesting to see whether or not after a college football season that had most of the teams, Pac-12 comes up in the spring, starts their season, let's say, in February or January, and goes through June. Whether or not, how much that would be watched.
Are you watching that? I was just going to say, I'm not watching that. I mean, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. I wouldn't if that was the case. Is this like a hypothetical that he brought up?
If the games actually mean something, but would they mean something? If the college football season is played in the fall and then the Pac-12 decides they're going to have theirs in this, would it actually mean something? Even though the games will count in their standings, it won't count towards anything nationally. Not that they count towards anything nationally anyway.
Right.
That'll be interesting. That would be interesting to see real football in the spring in college and if it would rate.
I mean, the goal is, you know, no matter what level you're at, you know, college level, the NFL, and then when the XFL came back out again, that no matter what level that you're at, the trend seems to be that you're trying to get football 24/7, 365 days a year. So maybe it would rate, and maybe, you know, people who are fans of that conference will definitely tune in. But that's kind of been the goal from a lot of football minds, is to kind of continue the ongoing nature of football, regardless if it's in the season or not, right? Like, just make it a 24/7, 365 sport at every level. So maybe there's room for viewership and listenership and TV dollars in the event that the Pac-12 doesn't count for anything nationally. But I don't know. I still think that's an uphill battle, considering what they've been as a conference over the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, they haven't really been anything to, you know, they're not making you want to watch them.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So those were two of the big – Oliver Luck was a big story yesterday. He is suing Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
To get his bag, $23.8 million, which he deserves. I hope Vince pays up. We'll see. I don't know Vince. I know Oliver. I love Oliver. He's a great guy. Great guy. Hopefully he gets his bag. Other than that, you know, the locally here, Laramie Tunsil's deal is done, and he's going to make $22 million a year. And it's going to be, and you're going to have no first or second rounder next year. And that's the story. He gets by $4 million a year. He worked the Texans to the highest contract, the highest left tackle pay in the business, which screwed every other team, which every other team is pissed off because the Texans were so piss poor at this. And the Texans gave up 2 firsts and a second, which everybody scratched their head and said, what the hell? That seems like a lot. Well, you did get Kenny Stills, too. A pretty good point. There was an article that you sent out, Nick, that has a breakdown of who did it. It's Greg Rosenthal Greg Rosenthal from around the NFL editor. He works with Lance at the NFL, NFL.com. And he broke down every team's lineup and talked about each team and all this stuff. And he broke down the Texans starting a lineup. And he says he loves Duke Johnson. He thinks Duke Johnson, if you could buy either Duke or David, buy Duke, not David. And he likes Kenny Stills. It makes a lot of sense. Everybody's talking about trading Kenny Stills or getting rid of Kenny Stills. Well, you got three guys, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, and Randall Cobb, who can't stay on the field. Why would you get rid of a guy that can? It was surprising they didn't try to upgrade the tight end position. Laramie Tunsil, he may be worth all of that money. The offensive line seems to be pretty good. Other than that, you know, not much about the Texans. What he did love was the Indianapolis Colts. He finishes up his breaking down the Colts with this. He loves Chris Ballard. I've been talking about Chris Ballard for years. I haven't been alone on that. He was dealt a tricky hand inheriting Chuck Pagano and losing Andrew Luck twice, but this is Ballard's fourth year since taking over. The roster embodies his vision, and the offseason depth chart looks pristine. If Phillip Rivers does his job, this team can compete for the AFC title. I think, well, since the Patriots are down, you still got the Chiefs, obviously. The Titans were the team that came out and actually got to the AFC championship game. The Ravens are a good football team, but they got to prove that they can win in the postseason, right? Ben Roethlisberger is back. I just don't believe that much. And I like the Colts roster, but at the most important position, I just don't trust Phillip Rivers anymore.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before. I mean, I've always been a guy that kind of wanted Phillip Rivers to succeed, just considering how long he's been at that position. I'm not sure that the AFC South. I like the Colts too, but I do see the struggles that they've gone through, considering you're right. He did inherit Chuck Pagano. He had the Andrew Luck injury situation, and then he announced his retirement. So I feel like you got to give him a little bit more room. There's potential on this team for sure. I'm not necessarily sold on this team being like the, you know, clear winner of the AFC South by no stretch of the imagination.
Well, I like DeForest Buckner. That was a good pickup for a first rounder. He's going to be better than most any guy they could have gotten at that spot, right? He is better, and he steps in right away, and he makes a huge impact. And I hate the Colts actually getting good defensively. That's a problem. Improving drastically defensively, that's a real problem, especially on that fast turf. I'm not buying it, but I like the Texans to win the division, but I can certainly see the Colts doing it, and I can see the Titans too. If you want to know the truth, I mean, is there a division that's got three teams that could – let's look at it on the other side. Is there any other division where three teams in the division could come out champs? We'll do that on the other side.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
You're on ESPN 97.5. I believe, do you, that any three of these teams, the Texans, the Colts, or the Titans, can win this division?
Yes, I think it's a situation. I think the AFC South is probably one of the more up-in-the-air divisions in the NFL going into the season, probably.
I agree. But I don't know that there's any other division. Okay, AFC West, the Chiefs are the class.
Without a doubt.
I mean, Denver's coming up, and they're expected they could be a nice team, but I don't know that there's any more lopsided division than that one.
I mean, I guess they would have to – they can only improve from 7-9 last year, the Denver Broncos, that is. But I feel like, you know, it's pretty safe to say that the Chiefs got that division.
In terms of the Chiefs are the class. The Chiefs improved too. They got Edwards-Helaire. I mean, The Chiefs are by far the class, and I think they're going to play with a lot of confidence. They may have a Super Bowl hangover, but they're going to play with a lot of confidence now. And then Pat Mahomes just is growing and growing and growing. The AFC East, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets, with the Patriots coming back to the pack, it looks to be the Bills' division, but I could certainly see a scenario with the Patriots. But I can't see the Jets or the Dolphins right now. The Dolphins are going to be improved, but I don't know about winning the division yet. I don't know that there's three teams in that division. AFC North, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Steelers. The Browns have to improve off of last year. They will. The Steelers have to be better with Ben Roethlisberger back, but he's fat. So we don't know how that's going to go.
We don't know if tape on, you know, Lamar is going to work against him, if he's going to have the same year as he did last year either.
I don't know the tape helps you against Lamar because he's so athletic.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to be – I don't know that you can stop him. Well, we know how to stop him. No. I mean, at the end of the season, teams were – well, the Titans had the formula, though, didn't they?
I felt like they did, but you're right. I mean, he's not going to go out because, like, he's – like, I would describe Patrick Mahomes as being more dynamic. And like you said, Lamar probably more athletic. So athletic players are not going to have a great game each and every week. Now, you can credit the team that played good defense on him, or you can just say that he had a bad game. I just feel like with his athleticism, it's kind of hard to go 16 weeks or 15 weeks straight without having one bad game, considering his style, right? Mostly a running first type of situation more than anything else.
Right. Well, he saved his best game, his worst game for last, which was a real problem. And he's done that the last couple of years here. I think the Ravens are the class, though. I mean, it's going to be hard. Now,
agreed.
There's changes in the NFL every year. There's three new playoff teams at least every year. So we can't just assume the teams that were great last year are going to be great again. In the NFC East, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Redskins, I think it's the Eagles and the Cowboys, and the other two are just not going to be good.
Yeah,
I think the
Dak situation over there in Dallas, I hate to say it, I think that's going to help Dak, you know, it's going to be like more of a prove it to me year, even though I feel like he's proven enough to get paid. But I think it's that pressure is really going to help Dak become a better player. So, and you're right, I don't really see the Giants and the Redskins really competing against the Eagles or the Cowboys for this division, unless something drastic changes or injury.
Well, unless Daniel Jones steps up and is unbelievable,
yeah,
and I don't know, I just don't think that they've got the roster, and secondly, I don't believe in Daniel Jones yet. We'll see. Just, you know, that was the first we've seen of him. Now with tape on that guy who's not nearly as athletic, then I think the tape is going to hurt him. And the NFC North: the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings. I could certainly see there's a possibility if Nick Foles plays well that the Bears could be much better. They could return to form from 2 years ago. The Packers, I thought that they were bad last year, and they turned out to be really, really good, much better than I thought they were. And the Vikings are not as good defensively, but they're still dangerous offensively, and they can outscore you, especially on a fast track that they play half the time. So I wouldn't count them out. That's a possibility I think any three of those teams could win that division.
Yeah, because you got to wonder which team is going to take a step back, right? I think the Vikings lost Diggs, right, to Buffalo. And then Green Bay,
Green Bay didn't pick up any wide receivers.
Correct. And then Nick Foles, that's going to be interesting to see if he can come back from, because I believe it was a clavicle injury that he had. I don't know if that's the easiest injury to come back from, but if he can just be, 90, 95% of what he was, you might see a completely, completely different Chicago Bears team. So that might be another division that we could kind of compare to the AFC South, right, in terms of competitiveness and who's going to win out.
Right. And I don't see any of them competing for the title, just like the AFC South.
Right.
So the NFC North is a lot like it. And actually, they play each other. It'll be interesting. We've got the NFC North this year that we're playing them. So it'll be interesting to see which division is better. I think the, if you want to know the truth, I think that the AFC South might be better.
Really?
Yeah.
Than the Packers, the Vikings. I mean,
the Packers, Vikings, and Bears. Yeah.
Well, the Bears, you just don't know what they are. I feel like the Packers and the Vikings, those are two, you know, potentially really solid teams in that division. But the Lions, I just don't believe in Matt Patricia. Maybe he is a good coach. He just hasn't really done anything in my mind to prove that he's going to turn things around over there. But with the Bears, I like Nick Foles. So.
And the other, the NFC South, it's the Saints' division to win, but the Buccaneers obviously much better. The Falcons are an enigma and have no idea what they're going to do any year. And then the Panthers, and they're probably a couple of years away with the new coach. And then same with the Cardinals. They're probably a couple of years away, although they're going to be better. The Rams fell off. I have no idea. Are they going to get back to the form from a couple of years ago? 49ers are good. Seattle's good. That's another division. You know, if the Rams can step up, then that's another division that's got a three-team possibility.
Yeah. And then what if Arizona becomes a surprise team? Do you think that's possible?
They could well be. They could well be. I got to see Cliff win at the highest level, though. Got to see it. Because we haven't seen that yet.
No,
we haven't seen Cliff do that. You know, he didn't win big and as a college coach, and you know, they did some nice things last year. We'll see. But you know, Kyler is going to come along. They picked up DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't want to talk about that anymore. But they're going to be better. They're going to be better. That's a good division right there. Now that's a good division.
It really is. It really is. And they've got some star players. It's gonna bring some eyeballs and some viewership to that division. I think there's a lot of stars on that division that people are going to be really, really excited to see and how they mesh. You know.
I can see. I think that's the best division, followed by the NFC South. I think the AFC East is bringing up the rear. The NFC East is the fifth best conference, the division. I'll tell you this, the AFC South might be right after the NFC South. The AFC South is underrated in that it usually gets a couple of teams in the playoffs. Usually gets a couple of teams in there. Underrated. 1027 ESPN 97.5. You know what it's time for, Nick?
Throw Shade Thursday.
That's right. It's Throw Shade Thursday time. We need you to come on in and throw some shade. Who pissed you off? Who did something? Who needs to get some shade thrown at them this week? Let's go. 713-780-3776. Come on. We need some response here. You actually have to do some work, people. You have to actually make a phone call, 713-780-3776, and throw some, make some shade.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's go. It's Throw Shade Thursday. Who wronged you? Okay. Did someone do something that has made you angry enough to call them out? And that's what we're here for today. That's what Throw Shade Thursday is all about. And listen, we can't refute your shade. You could be dead wrong. You could say that Bill O'Brien is a terrible GM, which is wrong. But we still can't refute that. We cannot refute that. So you're never wrong here when you throw shade at someone. 713-780-3776. Nick, are you ready?
I am ready. You ready?
Ready.
Let's throw some shade!
This is Throw Shade Thursday, brought to you by GiveMeTheVin.com.
All right. we're going to break the rules here. And we're going to let OU Mike come on. Okay, because his shade usually it's not, it's less than stellar. Let's find out. OU Mike, pick up your game today. What's up?
Thanks for all the pre-hype there, John.
You're welcome.
I wanted to throw shade at two people, actually, Dale and Aaron. I don't know what their problems are here lately, but, you know, and I don't know. Is Dale wearing, like, a little bow tie to work every day now with a Kill Whitey shirt on or something? Because, his whole attitude's changed. And Aaron, you know, he's like the hall monitor. He's like, when you call in, he's like, hey, you see my armband I got on? I'm the monitor. What do you want? Blah, blah, blah. But I want to leave this in good terms, you know, just by saying that they both suck. And that's all I got. Shade for
Aaron and Dell caught it from OU Mike. I think every, and I'm not disagreeing with him, but I think every producer could catch it from OU Mike because OU Mike has a reputation, does he not, Nick?
Without a doubt.
He was banned from your show.
Yeah, Barry banned him for quite some time.
Right. All right, who's next? Keith.
We've got Keith. Keith, you're on the bench.
Keith, you throw some shade.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, Keith.
Yes, I'd like to throw some shade.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to throw some shade at the damn DA for arresting me this weekend without probable cause and putting me in that Harris County Corona hell.
What did they arrest
you for? I'll
keep
it at that.
You don't want to say what you were arrested for?
Well, it's a family dispute because we're spending so much time around each other. But the thing was, I have videos of the incident, but the DA approved something and just took me in without cause. We'll deal with that later. I don't know how much I can or can't say. But it's some bullshit. Harris County, Corona hell. It was a fun weekend, but I'm back at work. I'm alive. I'm fresh. Long time listener, appreciate the hell out of you guys. I'll keep my day going.
All right, buddy. Try not to drop the word bullshit on the show. Try not to drop that word, so we had to dump that. He dropped the bullshit. La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Juanito G, R.I.P. Raheel. Nicosito!
Para tres,
gentlemen, good morning. What's up, Johnny G? Hey, so I got some shout outs, Spiky Boys Forever, hashtag that, you know, hey, trademark it. Hey, man, I got some shade to throw at all the haters to Michael Jordan about telling Horace Grant that he can't eat food. He be calling him, like, you know, the gardening tool. Hey, man, you can't eat, man. You didn't earn it, man. And Scott Burrell, too nice of a guy. He was just trying to motivate his players to be on a different level, man. Michael Jordan is the ultimate pimp. If you ain't working, you ain't eating. Hoes gotta eat, too.
That's it. I agree wholeheartedly. Horace Grant, you didn't play well, you don't eat. You want to eat? Want to eat? Hoes gotta eat, too. 713-780-3776. Larry wants to throw some shade. What say, Larry?
I want to throw shade on this plan to have virtual fans in the stands so it'll look like a full stadium. I think instead what they should do is pass out inflatable blow-up dolls at the entrances, and that way you have a person or a facsimile sitting next to you at the sporting event.
Oh, and you separate that way. I like it. Is it it's a blow-up doll, Larry? Is it, and you get to take it home then and
sure.
finish the job there? All right. I like the plan.
Make some shade.
I like the plan. Lazy J, what up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, I got two quick shades this week. My first shade is going to be to Michael Jordan. How you worth $1 billion and back in the 90s you were drinking Miller Lite? Like, come on, bro. That's whack, man. And also, my second shade is to Raheel, man. If you're listening, that's cold, man, that you stole your teammate's free throws, man. I see your jump shot, man. It's broke, man.
Oh, Raheel. Carter from Lazy J about his jump shot again.
Make some shade.
Oh, my goodness. Lazy J, he's not even here to defend himself, to throw shade back at you. Oh, my. That is terrible. Terrible, although I can't refute it. Who's next?
We've got Justin. He's next.
Justin is next up. Justin, throw some, make some shade.
Hey, pretty plain and simple, cut and dry, since he had to leave early. I'm going to throw my shade on behalf of Lance at Actually Twitter. They ain't got no right to upset my mans like that, so I'm throwing shade at Well Actually.
Well Actually Twitter caught it this week from Lance. If you haven't heard that one, what day was that? Nick, you were here, right?
I think I was. I don't remember what
Tuesday
day.
Tuesday morning. Remember he started the show with going off on
Twitter? Oh, yeah, on
Twitter?
The MLB nerds.
On the MLB. That was Tuesday morning. First segment, go back to the podcast and listen to it. My boy just went off on Well Actually.
Throw some, make some shade.
Yeah. No, just went off. Lewis wants to throw some, make some shade. What do you say, Lewis?
What's up? Yeah, man. Well, basically, you know, tomorrow I think the gyms are opening. And, man, I got this buddy of mine, man. This crazy folk. He big. He's juice. And me, hey. So all day, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. You know what I got to say about you, man? I hope you get corona, man. Why would you go out there and work out next to 40 people, man? Makes no sense to me, man. But, oh, well. Get your muscle on.
I'm throw some, make some shade.
Okay. There it is. He's going to stand next to 40 people. There it is. Thank you, Lewis. We appreciate it. Something against big guys. Tony is next. Tony, throw some, make some shade.
Yeah, I want to throw some shade at the radio station for running off all your minority radio show hosts. You know, you get rid of Raheel. You push Booker T all the way to late in the evening. Nobody gets to listen to the guy. And, you know, the great radio show host. And poor old Nick, he doesn't get his spot anymore because they got rid of Barry in the afternoon. I think that's kind of BS. Y'all need to raise your ethnicity up or your diversity up at the station. And I'll hang up.
All right. Appreciate it.
Didn't expect
like a white
that.
Guy. Sounded like a white guy defending y'all, but I don't know.
It did.
It might not be.
It did.
It might not be. And Nick, are you a minority here? Well, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
I think I'm.
And did you lose your spot?
No, I still have a job, thankfully. We lost.
Well, and not only that, but you got your own hour. You and Joel got it. Actually, you got more of a job, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Maybe he hasn't tuned in. It's a little bit of a shuffle up because of the pandemic, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still here, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah,
knock on wood.
No. And by the way, Booker T has always been in that spot. We didn't move him. That's
exactly.
The spot Booker T has always been in. Booker T doesn't want to do 5 days a week. Booker T wants to do one night, and he likes it.
He's a busy man.
I don't know why you're speaking up for Booker T, but I'm not refuting your shade. All I'm saying is Nick actually moved up, and he's a co-host now, as opposed to the third guy. And he and Joel are co-hosts now, and now he's co-hosting with me at 10 o'clock every other day. So there's that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I like your argument. So we're done. 10:42. Way to throw. Did you have any shade you wanted to throw?
You know what? I really wanted to throw some shade at Vince McMahon for treating your boy Oliver the way he has. Just go ahead and just take out that checkbook and write the $23.8 million that you have, because you know you got it, Vince. You know you got it.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That was going to be my shade, too.
Really?
Vince McMahon, please.
I stole yours.
Vince McMahon, he used his phone for personal use. This is why you fired the guy who started up and did a great job on your league? Really? He went home during the pandemic and worked from home as opposed to staying where there was coronavirus was all over. Okay. That's what everybody did, Vince. And he signed a guy that you said that you approved. Okay. All right, Vince. But you know what? That's Vince McMahon being Vince McMahon. All right. We have got News of the Weird coming your way right after this. Don't you go anywhere.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Five.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Time for News of the Weird. Florida woman is in the news, Nick.
Shocker.
Apparently, she has been arrested. She had a confrontation with her husband, and in which she hit her husband in the head with the bouquet of flowers he had given her for Mother's Day.
There's got to be a reason behind it.
Well, I guess so. I mean, she was angry, obviously. But do you think it's appropriate? I mean, those are the flowers that I just gave you for Mother's Day. Is that how you return that favor?
What if he was cheating like an absolute pig? He's just an absolute womanizer. He doesn't deserve that to the face?
He did give her flowers, Nick.
So you look past it. Like if you're a married woman and your husband cheats on you, just look past the cheating factor and accept the flowers.
It's flowers. This means I love you. This means I'm sorry. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? I mean, that's what flowers have always done. Buy flowers and everything is okay, Nick. You're not married. You don't know.
I try to fix things with flowers. It just never works with me. I probably would have been the guy that got the vase to the dome. I would have been that guy.
Yeah.
In a Texas story instead of a Florida story.
You know what? You shouldn't get her Mother's Day flowers and then cheat on her. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to tell you that. But she should be a little bit more polite with the
gift. What if you cheated on her first and then got her the Mother's Day flowers?
Well, you know what I'm not going to get her for Mother's Day next time? A gun. Because then what happens? Okay, if she's going to hit me with the flowers, what if I get her a gun? Then what? No, I'm sorry. I can't trust her anymore. A man with a face completely covered with tattoos was reportedly tased by a Portland, Oregon police after leading officers on a chase that ended with the suspect pretending he was going to shoot the cops in a grocery store stockroom. Here's the thing about entire face covered in tattoos. You just can't trust those guys. I mean,
why?
I don't know where your head's. Well, yeah, I can't. Where's your head at if you completely cover your face? I actually met a guy last week. I don't know. Were you on the show when I told the story?
No, I don't think
so. He was down by our bike rack. Mm-mm. And he's bald, and his whole head and face were all covered with tattoos, including the teardrops, which we know what that means.
Yes.
And it was just like, I just can't wait to get away from here.
So you were like frightened for your life is what you're saying.
Frightened for my life, but is there at any point that, because doesn't the story always start with man with face full of tattoos?
No, it doesn't. Not all the time.
Well, but whenever it's a story about man with face full of tattoos, is there ever a happy ending?
Probably. You're probably a dead man is what you're saying.
Right. Or something horrific is going to happen. Because there's just, I just don't, because like, what is the logic? Where is any logic that you can use with this man? You have a face full of tattoos. Your whole head and face is covered in tattoos. I don't know that you and I could speak reasonably and logically. I don't know that.
Well, they have that.
I have no idea where your head is.
That Joker mimic guy who had the Joker face tattoos in Florida as well, and he keeps going back in jail, and he's acting like Joker. So you're probably on to something here.
I just don't know if you're going to get a job as a CEO of a company.
Probably.
Once you start with face tattoos, I'm pretty sure that there's a direction you're headed. I don't know. That's just me, though. I've just never heard a story that ends well. Just like you never heard the word pancreas, and it comes, that's a good, like, my pancreas is great today. No. It's always something horrible. Right? Have you heard anybody say that?
No, I would hope not, because I would imagine that's a serious health condition if you know what your pancreas feels like.
If your pancreas is involved, it's never a good thing.
Never a good thing.
Earlier this year, Anchorage Police Department sent one of its top officials to Juneau to a request for lawmakers. Don't pass a bill making it illegal for police to have sexual contact with a person they are investigating. So, in other words, the cops, if they're investigating a prostitute, they want to have the ability to have relations with the prostitute.
What?
Yes.
No.
I think it makes sense. Okay? This, to me, makes a lot of sense. How are you supposed to know? Like undercover drug agents, what do? They buy and sell drugs, right? Don't they?
True.
And this is how you catch the bad guys. Okay, what are you going to do with a prostitute? Not so. It's not about drugs. It's about sex. So what are you going to do? I'm going to have sex. Okay. All right. Now I know. Now I know you just broke the law. So there's that. So, I mean, I think they're onto something here. I really think that this is going to revolutionize how many people are going to want to be cops. I really think that there's going to be a boom. If you can have sex with prostitutes, I think everybody's going to want to be a cop now.
I don't think the police departments around the country will have trouble. Because, you know, sometimes they had trouble. In certain decades, worse than others, they'd have like that phone number. Hey, you want to become a cop?
Yeah.
We won't even drug test you. Just come on over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't care if you do illegal drugs. Come, we need the cops.
Very much the case in Florida, like in the Miami-Dade, like cocaine Columbia trade days when it was really heavy. When Dade, Florida was just a bunch of old people waiting to die. And then all of a sudden the drug trade comes in, and Dade County is a completely different dynamic. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. There is apparently 21 Alberta food inspectors have tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We never think about that. Is the meat packing and all the... Okay, so at Cargill, it's a food packing facility. The facility has seen 947 workers test positive for the virus. And three deaths are linked to it.
What?
Yeah.
What are they doing over there?
This is a food packing plant. And 21 food inspectors that have gone there have also. I have a feeling that the COVID, that the Rona might be there.
Yeah.
Since 947 workers tested positive.
It's not a food hub. That's a COVID hub.
Oh, my God. So I want to know if I'm getting meat from this place. Because don't you think the people that are, to me, it just seems like we ought to shut this place down.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
I'm not smart enough to know how this virus transfer, but if I had to choose between COVID meat and COVID free meat, I'm going with COVID free.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm not trying to do
that. Apparently, police in Skowhegan, Maine had to chase a naked man into a church who then he overdosed. Surprisingly, there were drugs involved in a naked man fleeing police.
Normally when someone's naked running, the first thing you think of is not drugs, right? That's the last thing that you think of when someone's running naked in public. You never assume drugs, ever.
There's never.
Nope.
Never assume that this dude is wasted.
No, maybe he's just a free spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean he's under the influence of anything.
Yeah.
You know?
No, pretty much he's wasted. He's probably doing, what was the salt balls or what was it?
Salt balls.
No, yeah. what is the one that makes you just nuts? Anyway, there's a French serial killer. He's an expert. He has been helping out police with, you know, find other serial killers. Well, now he admits he just made up his whole experience. He didn't even murder his non-existent wife.
Ugh.
Wait a minute. Why would you want people to... Now, this guy is really, really weird. Who wants people to think that you're a serial killer when you're not?
He just wanted the notoriety like Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde. Just wanted to be on that front page paper, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
He said, attention.
I have reached the moment of coming clean. My lies have weighed me down. Sometimes I make films in my head. Well, apparently, his name was attached to more than 40 crime books. He had claimed that he had interviewed more than 70 serial killers and that he had killed his own wife. Oh, my gosh.
He had nothing to do and a lot of money.
He had way too much time on his hands. Way too much time.
He obviously didn't have a job, so if you're doing
nope.
that.
Nope. The press box is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Yes.
How's the press box been going?
It's been going great.
Pretty good. I've been listening. It's a good show.
Yeah.
The boys are getting along well.
Yeah. Joel and Charlie are in studio.
Yeah, and you're going to be in the last hour with Joel right here on ESPN 97.5. I'm done. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.